And when Frederick Blybond and Captain Bartlett get together in 1907 on that November afternoon, which one can only think, imagine in England was probably gray and dreary.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, put their hands over each other's as they held a pen over a piece of paper, and they asked, you know, what of Glastonbury? And they started to get a response. The pen started to move around, and they looked at each other, right? They weren't looking down on the paper. They sort of intentionally engaged each other in conversation.
That's
other
right.
than what they were doing.
That's right.
Is that typical for a remote viewer to do that?
Well, what they were doing, you know, this was a number of years ago, and so they were using a technique called automatic writing, which there are reasons why I don't think that's really a very good technique to do. But what astonished them, of course, I mean, scared them, actually, was that this information that they were getting, the source of it said, well, we're the monks who built the abbey. And they were unhappy that it had been forgotten and lost much of its history, lost to time. And they wanted to see it restored to its place of prominence in the shrines of England. And so they were assisting Blybond to do what he had been charged with doing, which was to reconstruct. I mean, if you go there today, it looks just pretty much as it did when Bond was there. There are a few walls still standing. And now, of course, because of Bond's work, we've outlined the length of the abbey and the length of the nave and where the Edgar Chapel was and where the abbot's house was, things like that. I mean, there was a whole list of discoveries that were made. But the source of it purports to be that these are the monks.
And did they tell him that right away? I mean, did he know? Could he see who
no,
it
they
was?
No, didn't know at first. They were confused at first. But then in one of their sessions, a little drawing emerged of one of the monks who was speaking. And I have that in the vaults, in the secret vaults of time. I mean, you can see that I actually put in some pictures of the sessions that they did and how they came out. And one of them, you can see this little drawing of a monk. And the monks felt, as I say, that all of their work had been lost, and they wanted to bring it back into awareness. So they were cooperating with him and helping them. One of the things that they found, for instance, was this burial of this very large man, which had been previously unknown, that was along one side of the abbey. He went out and they were told what to look for, that they would find this body wrapped in lead, and they, nobody knew about it, and they dug down, and there it was. And it was that repeated occurrence. I mean, the reminiscences from the workers, for instance, that exist and come down to us a little bit, all report, everybody was astonished that he didn't. Normally, when you do an archaeological project like this, you dig test trenches across the area, and what you're trying to do is to cut across the top of some walls so that you can sort of get a starting point. But that had been unsuccessful. They had tried that, and it had been unsuccessful. And in contrast, what Bond was doing is he would take these guys, and we're talking about sort of working guys who would, you know, had shovels and things like that, and they would literally march out into what to this day is just a field, and he would say, dig here. Out, you know, why here? Why not 5 feet to the left, to the right? No, dig here. And they would dig down, and lo and behold, there it would be. Go ahead.
And again, well, I think that's remarkable, but I just want to go back to the idea of these monks, because somehow they begin to be referred to as the Watchers. Now,
yes.
You know that has significance.
Well, that's what they called themselves.
Right, and that has significance beyond being monks. I mean, for them to call themselves the Watchers kind of taps them into a whole other kind of religious lore. I mean, it is an interesting name that they should choose for themselves. Were you doing any research for why they would decide to call themselves the Watchers?
Well, I was particularly interested in I was less interested in the fact that they present themselves as monks. And I was more interested in the concept of where are these guys? Where is this consciousness that they're in contact with, which is giving them this information, which purports to be watching over the abbey and keeping track of the things? I mean, the thing about Glastonbury that is unusual is it's associated with the Arthurian legends and King Arthur. This is supposed to be where Joseph of Arimathea came and put his staff in the ground, and this is where the spring is that's supposed to have healing properties, and the Tor, which is this large hill that's sort of off to one side, a little distance away from where the abbey was. I mean, this is an area which has had religious, spiritual significance in England way predating even the Christian era.
But that's all the margin. So these monks come forward, and they are emotionally invested in Frederick Bligh Bond to find things which they feel are going uncovered, things that they want us modern people to know about.
That's right.
Okay, so they're saying, dig here and do this, and he does. And how many sessions totally does he have with these monks that call themselves the Watchers?
I'm ashamed to tell you, I don't remember.
Well, I thought I remembered in the book something about like 15.
Yeah, it's not very many. I was going to say it's less than 20.
Okay.
18 or something like that. 15, 18. Yeah, it's not very many because it took him weeks and weeks in order to prove out what they would tell him. I mean, in one session, they would say to him, well, you know, you look for this or you look for that. Well, it might take him a number of weeks to organize the digging of that, and then once he discovered it, he had to excavate it and do all the measurements and everything to reconstruct it. So in just a few sessions, they were able to provide him with information that kept him working for weeks and months, and that's very typical in remote viewing.